yourself together and get things right with God. Amen? Amen. If you would, let us all stand as we reverence the word of God through the reading of his scripture and just a quick prayer. It is the same passage of scripture that's going to guide our lesson until God says otherwise. It's coming from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 4. And it says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." It concludes by saying, "No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him." Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you this day, oh God. We thank you that you're continually teaching us what it's like to be a soldier on the battlefield, oh God. And I guess more importantly, we're so glad that even as we find ourselves on the battlefield, oh God, you are right there with us, oh God. Even the times when it doesn't necessarily feel like it, oh God, I'm just glad to know that you never abandon us. And so because we know it is our aim to please you because you're the one who enlisted us, oh God, continually remind us what it's like to follow you and your word, oh God, and remove the desires of our hearts that are unlike you, oh God. And during that time, we won't just acquiesce to what it is that you're doing, oh God, but we will happily and gladly give these things up, oh God, to follow you. We just thank you today, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All righty. So again, we're going to deal with being a soldier in God's army. The very first thing, or one of the first things that we establish is that a soldier has to spend a great deal of time in preparation to ensure that when they go into the battle, they know exactly what to do. That's a strategy in which they must employ. We know that our mission is to do what? To fulfill the Great Commission. But it's not enough to say, "Go ye therefore and make disciples." We got to teach people how to do that. You can't just tell them to go and do something without giving them instructions on actually how to do it. Does that make sense? And so because of that, we need to first see what God has to say about what to do and then how to do it. In battle preparation, we like to call this muster. Muster is a time when all of us gather together so that we can give instructions about what we're getting ready to tackle or what we're getting ready to face. It allows us to make sure that we can be all present and accounted for. And it gives us an opportunity to have discussion around what our endeavor is or what we're getting ready to employ. Two things I want to deal with today, first of which is our core values. How many of you realize that because now you have enlisted into God's army, your behavior has to change? You do realize that now the things that you used to do, you can't do those anymore. Because that's not typical of a good soldier. Now, I want you to understand that in the Army, in the Navy, well, I'll just say it this way, in the armed forces, you're going to have some good soldiers and you're going to have some bad soldiers. But as a good soldier in God's Army, it's required of us to have a change in our behavior. Likewise, there's a certain code of conduct that we must have and we'll always function with. That is so important. How many of you realize that when you keep your word, that speaks volumes about your character? When you keep your word, that says a whole lot about who you are. And so I want to talk briefly, or as long as God allows us to, regarding these topics this morning. So a good soldier, let's look at these core values. Now, enlistment in God's army requires a certain code of conduct. Now, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, our behavior should change as well as our ethics. Let's look at Scripture. Scripture says, "Therefore, if any person is engrafted into Christ," I mean, in other words, they have joined with Christ now. They're joined in now. They're not just hanging around. They're not just casually sitting, listening. No, they are now joined with him in Christ, the Messiah, the one who saved us. He is a new creation. A new creature altogether. He's not something that was kind of old and you just polished it up a little bit. No, you're whole new now. Remember when you get baptized in Jesus' name and upon this profession of faith, you know, I go down and now I come up baptized in Jesus' name. Yeah, you are a totally different person at this point now. You're not just a cleaned up version of your old self. No, that old is gone now. The old is gone. Now you're a new creation. The old, the previous, the moral and spiritual condition has passed away. And that's why we say the things that we used to do, the mindset that we used to have, the attitudes and things that we used to have, you can't have that anymore. When you are operating and you are functioning in God's army, it should bother you to still want to do the things that you used to do when God's word says otherwise. That should trouble you. That should trouble you. But it says, behold, the fresh and the new has come. I'm so glad that the fresh and the new will come because we've gotten rid of the old. Guess what? The fresh and new is not going to come until the old is gone. The fresh and new is not going to come until you first get rid of this old stuff. And so, likewise, our core values are moral principles. This will govern our behavior. When we're in God's army, we are governed by his behavior code and not our own. And so you can't just come. Somebody said what they should do is put all the thugs and all the criminals and send them to the army and let them go over and fight in Iraq. Yeah, but if you did that, they're going to take that same mindset over there. You think that's going to help them? And so now if that's a natural army, what is it going to look like in the spiritual army? You can't take the old mindset that we have now and try to use that in the spiritual matter. You can't do that because it's not going to work. That's not what that's intended for. It's time for us to get away from these things. The question you had to ask yourself is, why can't I get away from that? Why do I have a hard time walking away from the things that I used to do? I'm in God's army now. People are looking at me now. Everywhere I go, people see you. They see you at Walmart. They see you shopping. And something about you just says, are you a Christian? How many of you have ever experienced that? People just walk up to you and they just bust out, what church you go to? You didn't have no outfit on that says, I go to church. It was something about your spirit. It was something about your demeanor, your deportment. It was something about you that made that person comfortable enough to say, what church do you belong to? And you're sitting there trying to figure out, I ain't even said nothing. You're trying to buy some rice or something and all, or some produce, and all of a sudden they just come up to you. It's something about you. What does it say about you when a person can discern something in you and how you conduct yourself and how you behave, how you speak? When you talk to people, does it say, yes, I'm in God's army? Or does it say, no, I'm still over here doing what I used to do? Or is it both? And we know what Scripture teaches us about both. Look, it says, look, in order to, the Scripture tells us that we ought to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. A lot of people will argue what this perfect means, but we want to be complete in God. When the Scripture tells us to be ye holy for I am holy, it's not telling you to do something you can't do. You can be holy. I was telling somebody earlier today, next time somebody tell you that you think you're holy in the thou, you tell them, yeah, I am. Because I don't know who thou is, and the Scripture tells me to be ye holy. So if you have a problem with me living a life that's conducive to what God wants of me in my life, then shame on you. That's your problem. Now, there's an arrogance that comes to that, and we'll deal with that momentarily. But I want you to see this. Not only does this pertain to the sins of the flesh, but it also pertains to how we carry the truth. Let's look at Scripture. Scripture says to do all things without grumbling or disputing. Now, I'm talking about Christian soldiers. I'm talking about soldiers that are in God's army. I'm talking about church people. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about us. It says that we ought to do all things without grumbling or disputing. Why? That you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Why is it that when people see us, we do more complaining and grumbling in the church than we see done in the world? We got issues with each other that we just can't seem to kick by. Why? And people who are in the world, they're looking at it. And it's like, how you want my behavior to change, and you're supposed to be in God's army, and this is the way you're supposed to conduct yourself, but yet you're conducting yourself in the same manner in which I conduct myself, and yet you expect for me to change? Now, the Scripture tells us that we should be light shining in this world to a what? A crooked and twisted generation. Now, if the crooked and twisted generation can see that we're essentially doing the same thing they're doing, they're never going to want to leave their army to come join our army. What's going to distinguish and differentiate what we do versus what they do? So we got to begin to ask ourselves, now, wait a minute. I want to make sure that I'm carrying God's word with truth. I don't want people to be coming up to me talking about, you suppose, you know, y'all Christians. Y'all think y'all did this and that, you know. I always tell somebody, if they represent the gun, don't give them the ammunition to use against you. Don't give them the firepower to use against you. Don't give them that. It says that we may be blameless and innocent, the children of God without blemish. So I want to be able to carry this truth and not have anybody come and question why I do what I do or why I say what I say. It's because of how we conduct ourselves, and it's also how we carry the word. How many of y'all want to shine in this world? I mean, truly shine. I don't mean from a worldly standpoint. I mean, when you walk into the room, it's something, you should be the life of the party. In a sense that people begin to say, man, look, I just really want to sit down and have a conversation with you. People need to be able to come to you and say, you know, my life is a mess. Can we talk? People need to be able to come to you and say, you know what, man, I got these issues going on. Can you help me? I understand why the scripture teaches that. We talked about it earlier. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. How many people are going to follow you as you follow Christ? Who's following you? The best thing, one of the best things that happened to me when I was in the military, I started hooking up with the older people. I became like a mentee. They became mentors. Some of them I made mentors, even if they didn't know it. Because there was something about them that made me want to gravitate to them. It was something about them that said, you know what, I want some of this. I want to be like this person. I want to have what they have. Does that make sense? And so I want us to be in that same place. Man, who are you going to help out? Because when you join this army, look, watch this. Some people enlist in the army in a buddy system. And the buddy system basically says, I'm not going to enlist unless you enlist. Or I'm going to enlist when you enlist, and we can go together. What does that tell us as followers of Christ? Sometimes your buddy is going to be walking the same path that you're walking. And they're going to be fighting the same battles that you're fighting. And you all going to have to do it together. I never had the buddy system, but I found several buddies once I got in. And to this day, I keep up with them because that's important. Now, I want to deal with this code of conduct. A good soldier is faithful, and we should be careful when we consider making vows. How many of y'all... You ever told somebody you're going to do something and you didn't do it? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. And sometimes we didn't do it because it's not like we didn't want to. It's just something may have happened. But regardless of what that thing is, we made a vow that we were going to do it. And when we didn't do it, that spoke against who we are, right? And so I want us to be careful going forward. I want us to know that through this enlistment, you know, I can stand up in front of people and say, yeah, I solemnly swear to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. I mean, I can say all that, but when I'm with God now, there has to be in my heart as well. Because I can make my whole mouth say a whole lot of stuff, and then when it comes time for me to sign, I can change my mind. But when you start serving God and you enlist in his army, ain't no coming back, right? Yeah, we want to make sure that we understand that. You know, keeping our word speaks volumes about your character. Sometimes you got to be like what the scriptures say, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You got to get to a place of maturity in your work where, guess what? If somebody asks you to do something, if you can't do it, you got to say, look here, baby, I can't do it. And when you can do it, don't worry about it. It will be done. If I say I'm going to do it, consider it already done. And I can say that because that's my character. And everybody, matter of fact, if you told somebody opposite of that, they'd be like, man, you're not telling the truth. Because we know that individual. Somebody told you I was late for church. Would y'all believe it? You better not believe it. Because you know my character. You know, I'm trying to be the first person here and usually the last person to leave. That's just a little bit. What do people say about you? Or you're always late for stuff? Oh, yeah, I don't want to hear that. I have to look the other way. A good soldier is reliable. We are obligated to serve on our posts, whether it's ministry on our jobs, or here in the church, we should be dependable. How many of y'all can be dependent upon? You got to be reliable. You signed up and said, God has called you to do this thing. And so what now? You got to be reliable. There's nothing worse than a soldier who I can't depend on. We're getting ready to go into war, and I can't even find him. Remember when I said I needed somebody to cover me because I was getting ready to go in? What if I don't have that person to cover me? And then what do I do? I can't just go in by myself. I need that person to cover me. I need that. That's what we do. And guess what? Even on your jobs. I struggle, everybody. I struggle with this. I don't understand how you can go to a job that you say God blessed you with and you can always be on time, but when it's time to do stuff in the church, you never show up. Yeah, I don't want to hear that. But see, I'm just telling the truth right now. Now, you can stand up and praise and thank God. Oh, the God gave me this. He did this. What are you going to do to thank God for what he's done for you? And the best thing you can do is just be reliable. Be somebody dependable. If you say you're going to do it, then do it. You shouldn't have to be coerced. You shouldn't have to be tricked into it. You shouldn't have to be deceived into doing what God has called you to do. You signed up for it. You said, I wanted to be in this army. Good soldiers are respectable. Now, let me go back. Because the lady, she said, Perry, she said, I was so mad, I had to come in here and work in the sound booth. You know, she's doing the equivalent to what's being done in the back. And she had to work and make sure the videos and this and that was all taken care of. And she got mad because the speaker that morning was a little behind. She had an expectation that the speaker was going to show up and present whatever they were going to present because that was the protocol. That makes sense? Well, did she ever think for one moment that a speaker had this idea that, guess what? If they were speaking to people, then there would be those who were going to show up to listen to what's being said. You go to school with the intentions to learn from your teacher. Your teachers expect for you to come out there for you to be taught something. Does that make sense? Or you can read between these lines. But I hope I'm speaking to everyone this morning. We say that as a church, we want our Sunday school and for youth to take off. But guess what? These kids don't drive themselves to school. These kids are not driving themselves to church. I got Sunday school teachers don't know when they want to come and teach because we don't know from week to week who's going to be here. But we don't want to talk about these things. I'm not here to offend anybody. I'm not here to blast anybody. What I'm saying is that we have to be reliable. We have to do what you said you were going to do. Good soldiers are respectful. And they treat all people with dignity and grace without the abuse of his power. Now, there are times in the military you're going to get elevated to a high position of authority. But what I love is that the person who's this high-ranking official, he still treats everyone as if he's right there on the level with them. Now, they recognize that they respect that positional authority, but he doesn't treat anybody like they're inferior. What I'm so glad is that as Christians, we can recognize this. The scripture says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. I'm so glad that as Christians, we get to a point of recognizing that not everybody may be where we would like for them to be. But yet, how many, you know, we still got to work with them. The brand new soldier who's fresh out of boot camp, the brand new soldier who just got saved last week, we can't expect them to change their behavior just like that. They may still dress inappropriately to church. They may still come late to church. They may still do things that we feel like as churchgoers, maybe you shouldn't do that because of the traditions that are within us. But how many of you know that before you blast them and suggest that they do something to get out the church, you got to pull that person alongside and work with them. You got to come alongside and say, you know what, we got to work on these things right here. That's what we have to do. And I think that as a church, as a universal church, we're missing out on some of these things. You don't just respect the elders. You don't just respect this group or that group. We have to respect everybody. I'm going to treat the pastor the same way I treat the person who's fresh off the street. With humility and dignity, because that's what they deserve. That's what God wants from us. That makes sense? God wants us to do that. He wants us to count others more significant than ourselves. It's not even about us anymore. You get to a place of status. Look, I love when I was in the military, the people who were high ranking, they can actually go and say things that we couldn't say. And they didn't care because they were trying to advocate for us more than anything. So when they would go and talk to the people to help them understand what we needed on this ground level, guess what? It didn't matter what was said to them because they were only in the interest of trying to help us out. And they knew that what they were doing was the right thing. How many of you are willing to do the right thing? That's where we need to be. Let's look at this. A good soldier is steadfast, everybody. A good soldier is steadfast. No matter what obstacle, no matter what adverse condition befall on you, you're never going to concede to the army. That's why you had to stand firm. Look, you all seen enough war movies to where when the enemy was coming in. As a matter of fact, you all familiar with that Red Sea encounter. You all familiar with that. Y'all seen the Prince of Egypt. You all understand when the enemy is coming in, what are you going to do? Some of you may have had physical altercations when you were younger. You couldn't just turn and run away from that situation. You couldn't just go. You couldn't do that. You had to stand firm. You had to be a good soldier and say, guess what? I'm getting ready to fight this thing. I got my feet shod. I'm telling you, I'm ready to go. I got my balance. I hope my boy is covering me. But guess what? I'm not going to let these adverse situations affect us. When it started raining yesterday, did we cancel the picnic? No. When things happen in your life, do you just say, you know what, man, forget it. I'm just going to run away. Scripture says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and know that your labor is not in vain. That's one of the most encouraging passages of scriptures ever. See, this ain't a shouting message. This is one of the messages that makes us sit down and really, really think about what's really going on. This makes us sit back and say, you know what, man, in the midst of adversity, in the midst of my struggle, in the midst of pain, in the midst of hardship, I can't just run away from this thing. I got to sit here and I got to fight this thing. I don't know how long this fight is going to last. I may have lost this individual battle, but I'm guaranteed to win the war. I'm guaranteed to win the war. Now, a good soldier is also trustworthy. A superior officer is not concerned with good soldiers following their orders because good soldiers can be trusted and found faithful. Look, for the teenagers, if you think about it this way, if you're in class and the teacher has to run out to go take care of the emergency, are you all going to continue to do your work like good students, or are you going to act a fool because the teacher's no longer in the class? It goes all the way back. Can you be trusted? Can you be trusted? Can you do what this good, what your superior officer knows that you can do? Does your person have to concern themselves with you? Does your parent have to question every place you're at? Does your parent always need to consider what you're doing? What time you come back? What time? Because they're more concerned about not doing the right thing. Can you give your superior officer the confidence that you're going to do what you need to do and be where you need to be when you're supposed to be there? You want to be found trusted, and you want to, a good soldier can be trusted and can be found faithful. That's where you have to be. I like to believe that if this man had to go off and do something, that could be some trust that I'm just going to continue to keep things going without the fear of anybody having to be anxious about anything, because we're just going to keep this going whether you're here or not. A good soldier can leave and go take care of business and know that, guess what? Everything's going to be okay. Your parent may have let you at home by yourself at some point in your life while they went and ran an errand because they knew that you was going to take care of business. But if you're not giving them a reason to put you in that predicament, then now we have to ask ourselves, what are we really doing? I hope I'm speaking to everybody today. I hope young people, you're really, really listening to this thing. Now, as we get ready to close up, it says in 2 Timothy, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who loved his appearing. I think you kind of covered a little bit of that, you know, on that day that he's going to come. But I want us to see there's a resolve, there's a reason, but there's a reward. There's a reward. So I want to lay this out for us. The resolve is, guess what? As a Christian soldier in God's army, we in this thing for the long haul. See, Sometimes when you sign up in the Army, you could do an enlistment, and when that enlistment's over, you could decide to walk away, never to return. But when you sign up for Christ, when you sign up for this army that we're in, you're in it for the long haul. You're saying, God, I'm in it till we win it. I'm in this thing, and I ain't going nowhere. Nothing's going to stop me. Guess what? Resolve is not quitting at the first sign of trouble. I'm so tired of coming to church. I wish Phil was in here because I would have him play soft music. Where is he? Come play something real soft and sentimental. I'm trying to make a grown man cry. Oh, my God. Keep that. And this is what you see in church. Now remember, they don't quit at the first sign of trouble. But what you're going to have is that Christian or that person, after the preacher's preaching, he's going to say something that's going to touch their heart. And in order to get people to join your church, you have to tell them that you can come by baptism. You can come by letter. You can come by restoration. I know some of you may have backslid today. Some of you may be going through some things right now. I know church seems like it's just not for you at times. But don't worry, we all felt that way. I don't want you to look at your neighbor right now. I want you to make this thing personal. I want you to close your eyes and let the Spirit just move. Close your eyes and let the Spirit move. Some of you may be dealing with issues. You may have health problems. You may have issues in school. You got financial issues. You got relationship problems. What I want you to do is turn it over to Jesus. Just get it up to Jesus. I know you joined the church about 3 weeks ago. I'm sorry, it's about 3 months ago. And you came for like 2 or 3 weeks in a row. But then life got hard again. And so you stopped coming. But I'm so glad that you came back. Now that I got you back, I'm just going to ask, is there anybody who wants to come down to be restored? Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at your neighbor. But if you want to come and be restored, I'm asking that you just come down. I'm asking that you just come down. All right, we got one. All right, we got one. Come on down. Just stand right here. Just stand right here. Ladies, I want you to just come and surround her with love. Don't move, ladies. I just want you to come put your arms around her and come thank her. And come love on her to help her get back to where she needs to be. And we're going to pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Go back and sit down. Now, here's the deal. Sounded good, right? Some of you forgot that I was in character. Some of you was really feeling what was going on because I had the ability to kind of play with the emotions that exist. You heard the soft music. I named every issue that you might be going through. Every issue that you could possibly be going through, I called it out. And so now you're going to think God is speaking directly to me because how would he know I'm dealing with relationship issues? The reason why I say that it does not quit after the first sign of trouble is because we shouldn't have people coming back and back and back to the church talking about I'm coming back for restoration. I'm coming back for this. I backslid. No, just start living right. How many times you got to get saved before you get the message? How many times you got to get baptized before you start getting the message? That's why we don't do all these altar calls because it's in the emotion. You want to tell me you truly walk with God? Come to church 2 or 3 weeks in a row. We can have some conversation then. With this resolve that you had to have, you cannot turn your back on God and quit at the first sign of what you see that may not look right. And that's what a lot of people do. They get into these hard places. They get into places where it's like, man, I'm just, you know, I don't know what to do. And it's okay because we've all been there. But what we have to do as soldiers is help those people so that when they find themselves in that adversity, guess what? They know how to deal with it, everybody. How many of y'all made all the right decisions the right time, the first time around? Oh, hopefully somebody came along with you and said, hey, when this happened again, and it will, this is how we handle this situation. This is what we need to do. And there's a reason behind why we do what we do. And the reason is that we know the price that was paid. I know the price that was paid. In other words, I know what Jesus Christ done for me. I know about his blood that was shed. I thank God every day for what he's done for me. I'm not here to critique anybody or criticize. What I'm trying to do is provoke something in you to say, you know what, maybe I ought to change. Maybe you ought to do this. Maybe I need to consider that. When you think about what Christ has done for you, some of the things that we consider doing, it wouldn't even be a thought in our minds because, man, it's unfathomable to think that we would do this knowing what Christ has done for us. The ultimate sacrifice. Now, we go around and we thank veterans who died for our country and all that, and I'm one of them. I ain't died, but I'm one of them. I appreciate what veterans do. I appreciate Veterans Day. I thank God for the free slice of pie at Applebee's on Veterans Day that I never get in line to go get with that little token. I get it. But I'm more grateful for what Jesus Christ has done. Now, there's a whole lot of blood that's been shed in all kinds of wars. But when you think about the blood that was shed, when you think about the real blood that was shed, Jesus Christ himself. Now, this is where you should be playing the music. Because this is the stuff I really want you to feel. I really want you to understand what Christ has done. That's the reason. That's the reason why we fight in this war, everybody. That's the reason why we're fighting this thing. And there is a reward that's going to come. I have a DD 214. I know Brother Ernest knows what that is, and maybe a couple others may know what that is. On the DD-214, it lists out all of my accolades, all of my awards, all of my accomplishments. I did 8 years in the Navy, and I was eligible for 2 good conduct awards. I received both. I have 5 Navy and Marine Corps Achievement Medals, which is not the highest medal of achievement, but at the pay grade that I was in, it's extraordinarily high, particularly considering the amount of years I had in. I was able to make E5 in 3 years, where some people were taking 7 to 8 years to make that same pay grade. Now, I don't know how it happened. I can't say I'm just going to attribute everything to the Lord because I wasn't really walking with him. I'm just giving you some facts. But now that I'm no longer in that particular army, and I'm in this army, I'm so glad that I don't look to those things. Because you know where those Navy Marine Corps Achievement Medals at? They're home in a box and we're collecting dust. You know what I want most importantly? What I want is for God to look at me and look over my life and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what I want in my life. That's what we all should aspire for. For God to look over our life and say, hey, well done. You did your job. I am so pleased. Can God do that with any of us right now? Can we look at our lives right now and God have God come and say, you know what? Well done. Because he's not just saying well done. He's saying well done, my good and faithful servant. If we can't say that with absolute certainty or assurance, because we're truly following God the way that he explains for us to do, the way that the word teaches us how to do, then let's work toward that. We can work toward that. We can progress. We can get better. This isn't the end for us, everybody. We can certainly improve. We can get better. I was a much better soldier at the year 8 than I was at the year 1. How many of you are much more mature Christians, whatever year you're in now, versus the year when you first started? How many of you are glad that you're on this side of the war? I know teens, even adults, it's difficult to want to give up certain things, certain lifestyles that you have become accustomed to, certain things that that we do that is still seemingly fun and it seems like it's not harming anybody. I know it's difficult to give those things up. But when you talk about truly, truly walking for God, you want to be in a position where God can use you to minister to other people. You can still have fun. You can still aspire to do all the things that you want to do in life. But you got to get to a place where you begin to make a decision that today and this day, I want to serve the Lord. My salvation is not going to rest on somebody bringing me to church every Sunday. I want us to get to that place. So as we close, good soldiers are usually decorated with medals of honor. You see soldiers or you see movies and you look at their left breast area, you'll see ribbons from here, way down here. Anybody seen Major Payne? Anybody remember that movie? I know some of the younger people. He had medals from like here, way down here. He was a straight up war hero. I mean, he did everything. But the reality is this. The goal of a soldier should not be the attainment of medals and accolades. A good soldier should always be focused on successfully completing a mission. I don't have to give you a plaque every time you go out there and reach people. Every time you go and talk to somebody at the grocery store and they come to church, I don't have to give you an award for that. I shouldn't have to give you an award for that. The reality is this. In return, you're going to be rewarded for your outstanding service. If you never get a medal, you should just be glad that God is saying, well done. How many of you know that one well done from God is better than any medal that you can ever get? We are soldiers of the cross, everybody, and we should never forget what we are fighting. What are we fighting against? Principalities. We're fighting against powers. We're fighting against rulers of darkness. We're fighting and spiritual wickedness. Where? In high places. Now, I'm going to show you how to fight back. I'm going to show you how to fight back. But I need for us to understand, first of all, what we are fighting. If you don't understand what you're fighting, you ain't going to know what to use to fight. You got to be careful. We are fighting because the adversaries have robbed believers of their God-given authority here on earth. We've gotten to a place now where we're too ashamed to even tell people about Christ because we're afraid of what they may say. We're afraid to stand up for what we believe in because we're so concerned and consumed with what other people are thinking. The scripture tells us that we are not to be ashamed of the gospel. And if that's the case, why are we afraid to go and proclaim it? Here's the deal. Our purpose is to bring light into a world and enable people to overcome sin, dysfunction, and despair. And God can use you to do that. Teenagers, who better else to reach another teen than a teen themselves? Young man, you think that you have such a relationship and a rapport with everybody in your school, you think they're going to listen to me or they're going to listen to you? Chances are they're going to listen to you because they know you, because the relationship they have with you, because they trust you. And so don't think because I'm older that somehow they're going to listen to what I got to say when God can use you to have the same impact or even a greater impact. Does that make sense? We have to be able to look at these things. You all are going to see things that we don't see. Our job is to help people overcome their sin. Our job is to help them get rid of the things that they're dealing with. There's a lot of dysfunction. There are a lot of people who have no hope. And guess what? The closest thing to Christ that they know is who? You. What kind of hope are you providing for them? That's why I love when Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Love when he said that. People are hurting right now. We talked about that money. That young lady, if she had somebody to come and turn and talk to, she probably would still be here today. But she decided to take her life, not because the money was the issue, but because she was dealing with something. And maybe she didn't have somebody to speak to. And while we're giving all these people hanging there, don't worry about it, we need to start giving them the word of God. But we need to find a way to do it in such a way that they can receive it without making them feel inferior to who we are because of who we are. Can we love on people even when they're not necessarily saved? We have loved ones right now that are waiting for us to go home and tell them the truth. But your loved one ain't going to receive anything from you if you see that your lifestyle ain't lining up. You can't be in both armies. You can't fight on my side and then go. The scriptures teaches that, right? You can't serve, what, two masters? Just tell you what the word says. It's our responsibility, everybody. I'm going to say it again. Our purpose is to bring light into the world. Doesn't the scripture teach us that? You are what? The light of the world. And to enable them to overcome their sin, dysfunction, and despair. I last have to say this. I deal with veterans who oftentimes deal with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. They have all kinds of issues. And I love the fact that they have, in spite of what they got going on, they have such a willingness to want to go and help other people. But the reality is this. Because of their physical ailments or because they're hurt, they are in no real position to go and help somebody else. What am I saying? Hurt people essentially end up hurting other people. So before you can help somebody overcome their sin and their dysfunction and despair, we got to begin to ask God to help us with our own situations. Because we can't go and help somebody else if we hadn't received what we need for ourselves. Does that make sense? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you that...